welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn with the Creative Pen Podcast. Today I'm interviewing Joshua Tallant from ebookarchitects.com, but first I've got a few updates for you, I guess just to keep you in touch with what's going on and try and make this a bit more of a personal podcast. Okay, so my novel, which is actually now called, I guess working title is Pentecost, because I've found that's actually one of the themes of the novel. It is a religious thriller, so that's pretty exciting. Okay, so my word count currently is 24,182 words of very first draft writing, and I have a goal of 40,000 words by mid-April. That's probably not such a big goal. I'm just finding at the moment I just don't have that much time. my work is, my day job is particularly tiring and busy at the moment, and I'm also trying to learn to write a novel at the same time. So you'll be seeing lots of blog posts on novel writing aspects in the coming months. I do have a good plot, and I'm happy with the plot, and I know what I want to say. It's just not coming out in the way I want it to, which I think is a common issue with writing a novel. It's definitely very different to writing non-fiction. One of the things I am finding useful, I mentioned this last time, is the Write or Die software, which actually gets me to write down, that even if it's broad brushstrokes, of what I want to portray. But it is really first draft stuff. But I am enjoying it. When I actually get down to it, I really enjoy it. And I've also been listening to Rain on iTunes, which is really good because it's been so hot here in Brisbane that it's just, you know, it's really been quite out of everybody's comfort zone. And listening to the rain has actually made me feel quite comforted. And I guess being British, the rain helps me. So that's pretty fun. As research, I've been reading a lot of Holly Lyle's books and also Larry Brooks from StoryFix on characterization. I've also been reading Sol Stein, which is an older book actually, but really very good. And I've also joined Robert McKee's Story Log, which is video based for writers. So, you know, I'm basically a beginner with the craft of writing. So all of this is really helping me learn. So yeah, I'm still very busy at my day job. Somebody asked me what I do, and I basically am an IT consultant for a large mining company in Australia, in Brisbane. At the moment, I'm just sort of doing banking, setting up banking for this company. So it's interesting, but it's not obviously what I'd love to be doing full time. So yes, I do this blog and the podcast for fun and not income. So because I'm, I guess, really busy and tired at work in the heat, I've cancelled my live Brisbane workshop, full-day workshop, as it exhausts me and it takes about 3 days. And I've been turning down speaking engagements that are not directly related to writing. I am speaking on the Gold Coast this weekend, however, and the Bali Writers Retreat is definitely on for October. So love to see you there if you're interested in Bali, and we'll be doing a lot on author platform as well as actually getting your book done. Because even though I might be struggling with my novel, I have still managed to get through 3 non-fiction books. So anyway, if you're interested in Bali, then it's thecreativepen.com/Bali, and there's some details there or details on the main page. Okay, industry news. Interesting, and I will be blogging. I will have blogged about this by the time you listen to the podcast. Simon & Schuster, who are a huge publisher, have just started a new site, I guess opened a new site, simonandschuster.biz. It's a new website, and it's got this page for author resources for online tips and tools, and they're actually advocating that authors use blogs, social media, book sites and video. So interesting to see that the author platform idea is now mainstream. I'm actually going to be relaunching my Author 2.0 online course at some point, probably after Easter. But I'm also going to do some mini modules, I guess, available on each topic. Thinking of doing blogging, podcasting, ebooks, and social networking as separate modules. But do please email me or leave a comment if you have any particular things that you are interested in. You can also go to author20.com. That's author number two, zero.com. /sign-up to put in your email address if you're interested in pre-release specials that I will be doing. Okay, I think that's about it. So let's get on with the interview. And as ever, please do leave comments and let me know what you'd like to hear, or if you have any recommendations for speakers for interviews on the blog, I'd love to hear from you. Welcome back to the Creative Pen Podcast. And today I'm interviewing Joshua Tallant. Joshua is the author of Kindle Formatting and is a specialist in formatting books for the Kindle and other ebook platforms. He's also the founder of ebookarchitects.com, converting print books into high-quality formatted ebooks and taking all the pain away from us non-techie authors. So welcome, Joshua.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show. So maybe for those people who haven't heard of you yet, maybe you could tell us briefly a bit about yourself and about your businesses.
Well, I'm an ebook formatter developer by trade. I've been doing ebooks for about 7 years. Started out working for a software company, working in their proprietary format. And then, you know, as the Kindle came out and ebooks started to take off, I found that I could help people, like especially independent authors who were having problems trying to get their books into the right format. And so I kind of jumped on that and started answering questions in the Kindle forums. And it turned into a little side job. And I thought, oh, this is great. I can do this on the side and still work my day job. And then about 9 months later, it had grown to about 30 or 40 hours a week. So I said, yeah, it's time to change. So I started Ebook Architects back in January of 2009. And so it's been smooth sailing, really great. The ebook world is growing very fast, and it's great to just kind of sit on top of the wave and watch as everybody figures out how to do ebooks and how to get their ebooks out there for people to buy. And it's a great place to be right now.
And I guess, you know, I really started my blog about a year ago as well. And I've been aware of you, I guess, since then. But it seems like things have really moved on in that 1 year since January 2009. And yet, like I said, you know, you've been speaking everywhere and ebooks are everywhere. So can you maybe outline what has been changing in the world of ebooks in the last year or so?
Some of the biggest changes have been in the device market. You've seen a lot of devices kind of crop up in the last year. You know, before the Kindle came out in 2007, in November 2007, Sony already had its reader out, and it had already been in the market for a while. And you know, nobody really knew what e-ink was or what the devices that they could use to read e-books were. And but Amazon came out with a device, and all of a sudden the market just got inundated. And then the last year, you know, we've seen a lot of new devices come out. There's probably 20 or 30 e-ink devices out there. Some of them are only, you know, in certain parts of the world, you know, based for certain geographical areas. But other than that, I mean, it's a pretty wide open field. And we've seen a lot of people come together behind the EPUB format, which is the industry standard format. And that's really good to see, because then, you know, someone buys a book, they don't have to worry too much about being able to read it on just one device, like you get with some, you know, some proprietary formats like the Kindle format. You know, the restrictions are not quite as bad with that, with the EPUB format. So it's great. There's a lot of good technologies happening. The iPad obviously is a really good thing to see, a really interesting change in the market. And ebooks are growing quickly. If you look at the numbers, you know, IDPF, the industry group that does the EPUB format, manages the EPUB format, they release statistics every quarter about ebook sales and how things are increasing. And every year, just year over year, the last couple of years, it's been increasing 150-200%. Mm. And that's great for authors. It's great for publishers. It's great for anybody who wants to sell their content. And especially for authors, I have to say, you know, the last year has been great for independent authors who don't have necessarily the backing and all the money and all the things that a big publishing company might have. Being able to self-publish your book and being able to, you know, especially self-publish your ebook and get it out there in the hands of people is much easier now than it was just 2 years ago.
No, absolutely. And I guess maybe I could ask your opinion on the whole sort of US versus international market, because we only got the international Kindle just before Christmas, and I believe Canada only got it this year. And, you know, is the rest of the world catching up, I guess, with the US?
Yeah, in some ways, the rest of the world has been behind the US in this, and in some ways it hasn't been. You know, the Kindle really is the big dog in the ebook world, so it's great to see it go international, and I think that is a sign that ebooks are going to spread. And you see a lot of, I mean, I've been contacted by certain people in like the, you know, Europe, Eastern Europe, and South America, who are looking at, you know, they don't have ebooks in their country. You know, it's completely open market, and they're trying to get an ebook retailing presence and trying to figure out how to do conversions and things like that. And it's definitely growing very quickly in other parts of the world. You know, but yeah, I think one of the things that Amazon has going for it is kind of a unified front. And that's why Sony wasn't able to necessarily get the traction, even though the Sony Reader was available internationally for a while before the Kindle came out. It's that front that Amazon has, that fact that they really do provide a lot of the book buying experience online, that gave them the ability to move international so easily, and you know, it's great. It's hopefully what we'll see happen, and I really do hope to see this, is we'll see devices that'll come up in certain areas, like in Australia where you are, that, you know, that are specific to the market and the people in that area. So that not everybody has to be on the same kind of device. You don't have to be on the Kindle or the Sony, but you can have a device that really is geared toward the needs of the people in that geographical area. And that's something I think will happen in the next couple of years.
That's fantastic. Okay, well, so I guess hopefully people listening to this call are interested in ebooks in general, but some people are still unconvinced. I regularly get emails from people saying, you know, why do you talk about ebooks so much? And do you have any words, I guess, to say to one, authors, and two, readers, as to, you know, why should they care about ebooks?
Well, ebooks are, in a lot of ways, the way of the future. I mean, I don't think print books will ever go out of style or ever stop being used. I still like reading print books periodically myself, and that's, you know, there's some things that just never are going to work very well as an ebook. But for, especially for fiction, especially for things, you know, for content that people want to be able to read easily, they don't necessarily want to spend the $25 for a hardback, you know, an ebook is a really good way to get your content, as an author, to get your content into the hands of people who may not have even found you otherwise. You know, if you're an independent author and you're not able to get your book distributed into the bookstores, you're having trouble getting that print distribution that you really would want, an ebook is a good way to meet your customer base in a way that you wouldn't be doing in print. You know, and there's a lot of opportunities to get your book into a variety of retailers online in ebook formats. And so it's a good way for people to get to know you as an author. And some authors actually will, if they've got a couple of books, they'll even make their older books available for free or for, you know, a couple dollars. So it's a really easy buy-in for someone. And those people get hooked. You know, they read your content. Oh, wow, this is a great story. I really like this. Or this is a great, you know, the great writing style. I like this author. And they'll come back and they'll buy your print books, and they'll buy, you know, they'll buy into you as an author. And that's it's a really good way to market yourself and to market your content. As far as readers are concerned, one of the biggest things for readers is just the lower price point. A lot of people buy ebook devices, and they'll spend $300 on a device because they're not spending $15, $20, $25 on a book. They're spending $10 on a book or $7 on a book. And it makes it a lot easier for people to purchase content and purchase more content and be able to read more and engage more with the content that they want to read.
Absolutely. And I've talked about this before, and business books here in Australia are around $40 Australian, which I think is around $30 US. So, we're really penalized for business books, especially, and they cost around $11 on the Kindle. So it's quite clear you know, that it's quite obvious that it's cheaper to buy it on the Kindle. And the other thing I was going to say there as well about you saying, you know, people getting hooked on multiple books. I think Joe Conrath was saying, you know, he's got 30 odd books now, I think, on the Kindle, and people tend to buy them all. So as soon as he hooks somebody, they will go and just read his whole backlist, which, you know, and they can just click at the bottom and it's, there's another link to another one of his books, and it just goes on and on, doesn't it? It's brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah, it's perfect.
Brilliant. So, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a convert. So are you. I'm, you know, just trying to be an evangelist out there for ebooks. Okay. So, I mean, I have published on the Kindle. So, you know, just basically, but I wondered, you know, since your first site is Kindle formatting, and you do have a book there on the topic, maybe you could just briefly outline the steps someone would need to do to convert, just a plain text novel into a Kindle book.
Well, assuming you've got, say, a Microsoft Word document that you're trying to convert into a Kindle book, the process is not really that difficult. You know, you can take that Word document, make sure that it's clean, and you know you don't have any editorial problems with it. Proofread it, get a friend to edit it for you if you can, and then you know go through the book and actually do as much cleanup on the content, the formatting as you can. Microsoft Word, especially, it has a styles process, and a lot of people don't know about the styling system that's built into Word, but if you know you can learn about it very easily. Go in and style your book, use content styles in your headings, use them on the paragraphs, and make sure that that's nice and clean, and you know, page breaks in between your chapter, you know, in front of your chapters and things like that. And once you've got it nice and clean, then you can do a couple of things. You can import it directly into, say, Mobi Pocket Creator, which is really the best way to do that. You want to get the book into Mobi Pocket Creator, it converts it into HTML, and then you can go into that HTML file and clean it up, or you can save the file from Microsoft Word into what they call filtered HTML, which is kind of a cleaner HTML format that the Word can create. And then you go into the HTML, do a little bit of cleanup there, and I describe that in my book, but that part even isn't necessarily something you have to do if you've done a good job with the styles. And then you build the book as a Mobi Pocket book using Mobi Pocket Creator, and there's the process for that is very easy. It's an easy interface to use. And once you've built the book, it gives you a PRC file. That .PRC file is what you would upload to the Amazon digital text platform to publish, and you're good to go. There's a lot of things that you can do as an independent author to get your book out there. That don't really require a lot of techiness, that don't really require you to dig into the HTML code or do anything like that.
And there are some people now freaking out with all, you know, HTML and PRC and Mobi Pocket and, you know, so, you know, at what sort of level of techiness do people need, and how can ebook architects help, I guess? What do you offer to help other people?
The level of techiness is basically if you're good with Word and you know what you're doing with Microsoft Word and you're not afraid to try something new, getting into Mobi Pocket Creator, or even just, you could even upload that Word file directly to Amazon if you wanted to, although I don't usually suggest that. You know, it's not terrible. If you're comfortable enough with a computer and you can play around with it, then it should be pretty easy. What I do is, you know, I take that Word file and essentially follow that same kind of process. But because I've been doing this for 7 years, I'm really fast at it. So I can turn around, you know, what might take an author a couple of days or a couple of weeks even to try to figure out and hack through, I can usually do in about an hour of my work time. And that, you know, that conversion process, I get it into HTML. And the benefit of using someone like me, and there are other people who do what I do as well, but the benefit of using eBook Architects is that, you know, you're getting a file that's been cleaned up in the source code. We don't do our editing in Microsoft Word. We do our creation in HTML, which is the base format for the Kindle. So you really, when you get into HTML, it's much more powerful. I have a lot more control over the formatting and how much, you know, how things look. And I can do little things to make a book just look really good on the Kindle device. And then there's some functionality things that you can do that, you know, like making waypoint navigation available in your book, which essentially if you're on the Kindle 2 or the Kindle DX and you're reading a book that has waypoints, you'll see little dots in the location bar. And as you right-click or left-click on the five-way controller, you can jump from chapter to chapter, section to section, to those dots that are in the waypoint. that are in a net location bar. And that's a really good feature for people who are reading a book, even a fiction book, because it gives them a much, you know, kind of an easy navigation option. And then there's, you know, there's things like the embedded cover, which I can create an embedded cover and put it up in the book. So that whenever someone goes to the very beginning of the book, to the cover image, it's actually full screen. There's no white space around it, and it looks really nice and is a good feature to have in your book. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, just little things that make a book go from being okay to being just fantastic.
Mm. And I guess it is one of the most annoying things on the Kindle is when there are sort of badly formatted books that are hard to read. You know, and sometimes I resort to the native PDF thing, and then the screen's really tiny. You know, the words are really tiny, and, you know, so absolutely, I think that's brilliant. Can I ask about pricing? So for example, I've got a 60,000 word, just plain text book. Say that's just in Microsoft Word. Could you give me a price on that so people get an idea?
Yeah, usually the price for fiction, any kind of straightforward text, is going to be about $100. On a larger book, let's say something that would end up being like 300 or 400 pages in print, then it may be like $150. But fiction books are really easy to do, and as long as the formatting is not really weird and there's nothing, you know, nothing really intense going on in the book as far as formatting is concerned. Mm. $100 is pretty much the normal rate for a fiction book.
Mm, that's brilliant. Fantastic. So highly affordable for most people. And the authors who get their books on the Kindle, I think, are generally very pleased, as long as they're marketing, obviously, and getting the eyeballs. So that's brilliant. Okay, let's move on. So one question I also get a lot, I get children's book authors, picture book authors, other sort of highly formatted text authors sort of emailing me and saying, what is the most effective ebook format for them? Is it just PDF? You know, what will the iPad do? You know, so do you have any answers for sort of those, you know, picture books and highly formatted books?
It really kind of depends on the book itself. There are some things that you can do with a children's book in say, the EPUB format or even in the Kindle format that are pretty good. It's when you get into books that have lots of worksheets and that really would require someone, you know, if they were in print, someone would be sitting there writing, you know, filling in a worksheet or, you know, writing content in the book. That's the kind of thing you really can't do as an ebook very well. That really should be kept as a PDF file. But when you're, you know, when you're doing, say, a children's book, you can do a lot of really cool things with children's books, especially if you're focusing in on a certain size platform like the iPhone, and you're building, say, an application for the iPhone. You can do some really nice things with those kinds of books. EPUB is a really good format for more intense formatting, because EPUB is an open source standard. It has a lot more flexibility in formatting. So I do suggest that people who have more intense formatting things try to go with EPUB. One of the problems that EPUB has, though, on the counterpoint, is that there are a couple of different EPUB rendering engines, you know, software programs and that actually do the display of EPUB files. And so while you may make an EPUB file that looks really good on a Sony Reader, it may not look the same, actually probably won't look the same, on the iPhone in, say, the Stanza application. So you have to take that into consideration. Right now, that's probably the biggest limitation of the EPUB format, is that problem of, you know, worrying about what your book's going to look like in the different areas. So a lot of times, you know, if you've got a very intense book and you have the ability to sell a PDF file, for right now, that might be the best option for you, is just to keep it in PDF. But if you've got the ability to play around with it a little bit and you don't mind, you know, not necessarily making it look exactly the same way that it looked in the print version, then you can play around and get it into the Kindle format or into EPUB format, and it can look pretty good if you try really hard.
Mm. And do you think that the apps for things like the iPad, and I think Amazon's opened up the Kindle now to developers, hasn't it, as well? So are apps the sort of way of the future, or will books stay on the ebook reader apps, I guess?
I think books are here to stay. I mean, applications, iPhone apps are really cool. It's an easy way to get your book. Well, not necessarily easy, but it's a good way to get your book in front of a different type of audience than, say, someone who has a Stanza on their iPhone, or someone who has an Iceberg Reader or something on their iPhone. They're looking for books through the stores on those applications. But if you're putting an app on the iPhone on the iTunes Store, then you're hitting people who don't even necessarily, you know anything about Stanza or any of these other applications that are kind of library systems. They can buy your book directly and install it on their iPhone that way. The iPad will change some things, I think. I think the biggest thing the iPad is going to change is it's going to be, hopefully, more competition for Amazon on the front of ease of publishing. If Apple opens up their system like Amazon has, where anybody, including independent authors, can go and publish their content, then that'll make the big difference. Mm. If Apple doesn't do that, and they're still limiting themselves to only working with publishers, then I don't think it'll change very much at all, because really all the iPad is just a big iTouch, iPod Touch. And a $500 price point is kind of steep for some people for something that may not do exactly what they're wanting to do. I don't think it's the killer application. I still think that dedicated ebook readers will be the primary way that people read electronic books in the future. But the iPad has the potential to give Amazon a run for its money if Apple pulls it off the right way.
Mm. No, absolutely. And, I really love my Kindle, actually. We only have the black and white kind of, we don't have the DX or I think the Kindle 2 or anything. So we only have the basic one, but I absolutely love it. It's brilliant. So, and that basic screen is what I actually like, and I use my iPhone for different things. So I agree with you there. Are you guys going to be doing iPhone apps?
Yeah, I'm actually working with the makers of Stanza. I've been putting this off and putting it off because I just don't have time to mess with it right now to get my system set up for it. But in the next few months, we will be offering iPhone applications as an option for our clients. Yeah.
Mm, fantastic. We'll keep an eye out for that. That's one of my goals this year, is to get an iPhone app done. But there's so many options. Yeah. Okay, so a couple more questions. We're almost out of time. When do you think it is appropriate to have an ebook versus a print book, or should you always have both?
It really depends on the author and on the content. Some books are just going to work better as an ebook, especially things that, if you're going to be making a lot of changes to it because it's a fast moving business industry or something that you really need to get out right now because of, something that's going on politically or something that's going on financially that you want to get the content out there right away. Ebooks work really well for that kind of thing. If you're writing fiction, I think you really should do both if you have the ability, because you're going to hit a different market with print than you would with ebooks. And print books still sell more than ebooks. Ebooks only make up a small percentage of the total sales in the publishing world. So you're definitely going to be missing out on sales if you don't have a print book available. Mm. I think that as far as timing is concerned, a lot of big publishers are moving to this. Let's wait on the ebook. We're going to wait 4 months before we release the ebook version. Personally, I think it's a bad idea. I think that, publishers can make the decision to sell the books at a later time, but that doesn't mean people are going to buy the print book instead of buying the ebook. If I've got a Kindle, if I want to read a book, I'm going to go look on the Kindle first and see if it's available and see what the price is. And if I really, really, really want to read that book, I'm probably just going to wait until it comes out of the Kindle.
Yeah.
And I think most people who have Kindles have that kind of, or have ebook readers, have that kind of thought. They've spent $300 or $200 or whatever on a device that they use to read books. And if they have to wait a couple months, it's not a big deal. People wait for a couple months to read the same book from the library because they're on the waiting list for it. So I don't think that's going to affect things the way the publisher is expected to.
Mm, no, I agree with you. And I think Merle Lafty had something like this on her site as well this week. And I went on and, said, well, I will buy a print book if it's not on Kindle, but only if I really, really want the book, like Seth Godin's Linchpin, that came out last week and is not on the Kindle here. Anyway, that's the other thing. You guys get some of the books and we don't. That's really annoying.
But
sometimes you do end up buying a print book, but generally I want to buy them on the Kindle. That's exactly right. Another question, I guess it's probably the last one. Where are the best places, for people to start selling ebooks? So for example, do they go to Smashwords? Do they put them on their own website? Do they go straight to the Kindle? What do you think, if someone's ready with their ebook, where do they put it?
Definitely on Amazon. Right now, from what I'm hearing, Amazon sells 50 to 70% of ebooks that are sold across the retailers. And that, you know, that number comes from the big publishers. It may not necessarily apply to an independent author, but Amazon is a great place to put your book up for sale. So I do suggest to everyone, get a Kindle version, get it up on the Kindle, and if you do nothing else, go there. If the iPad, you know, if the iBook store is available and open, I would highly suggest that people go there as well as the second stop. You know, make sure that you're out there on the iPad if that's, if that becomes an availability, for independent authors. Places like Smashwords are really good. There, you know, some issues with Smashwords because they, you know, their formatting is not necessarily as good as you can create yourself, and definitely not as good as what I can create myself. But it's a good place to get your book out there and get your name out. If you have a market, let's say you're a business writer and you have a very consistent market, let's say you're doing speaking engagements and things like that, then definitely try to get your ebook for sale on your website. You know, you can even, you know, sell coupons or something on your book table at your speaking engagements, and, you know, let people download your book, you know, buy the ebook from you at your book table and then download it from the website or something like that. There's a lot of options available. You know, make your ebook part of your platform. If you've got a good platform, then your ebook will sell and your print book will sell, and you can point people to wherever you've got it up for sale to make those sales. And that's the best thing, is to just to get that platform working and make it work for you.
No, I agree with that. And I sell just PDF, you know, copies of my books from my website, and they sell pretty well, actually, for the same price as the Kindle. But obviously I make a bit more money when it's from my website. So, yeah. You know, and that sort of PDF versus the Kindle. But yeah, I'm totally an advocate of being everywhere.
And if you have the ability, if you have the ability to sell a PDF, then go ahead and sell the Kindle and EPUB versions on your website too, because PDF will hit a certain market, but I prefer much prefer to read a Kindle version of a book on my Kindle than the PDF version of the book, because of the thing that you mentioned earlier about the text being smaller in the PDF and it being harder to read. Now, if you're already selling PDFs, hey, get the EPUB and the Kindle versions out there as well on your website, and you may draw some people away from, you know, buying it at Amazon, and you only get in 35% of the cut.
Ah, good point. I hadn't thought of that. I just linked to my Kindle page, but you're right. I should just sell the format myself. Brilliant idea. Thank you for that. Okay, so finally, where can people find more about you and about your services?
I'm available at ebookarchitects.com, also at kindleformatting.com. My ebook architects website has information about the retailers and formats that are out there, and also talks about my services and what I can do to help you out. I'm also available anytime someone wants to call me. I'm available on in the U.S., 512-939-3466, which is my cell phone, so feel free to give me a call, or on Skype at joshua.talent. That's T-A-L-L-E-N-T. And all that information is on my website as well.
Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Joshua. That was brilliant.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!